Greetings, salutations, and welcome to episode 3 of the Plains Talkers podcast. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by the guy on my right, even though he's not really on my right, Aramis Perez. How are you, my brother, my friend, my confidant, my comrade?
I'm cold. I just finished shoveling.
Really? It's been one of those days, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going right into untap, upkeep, draw here, folks. So, you know, we can definitely do that. See, we actually have a thing for it. Ooh. So, yeah, let's get into that. Holy cats, holy cow. I don't, whatever holy you got to say, that, wow. The storm has, the storm was no joke.
No, it was not. It was no joke at all. How much did you end up getting?
We had about 2 feet. So.
Yeah. That's a lot more than us.
A little bit more than that, probably. What really is bad is the cold, though. Like, actually, it's kind of funny. We lost power last Wednesday. Tuesday. So while I stayed late playing Magic with my Magic Club at work, Wendy was here freezing to death. So So Thursday, she's like, "This storm is coming. I'm gonna get provisions." I'm like, "Well, what are you gonna do? Buy a generator?" She's like, "No." She came home with like a kerosene heater, kerosene, flashlights, batteries, candles, all sorts of crazy like survival stuff. And we were like, "We'll leave it all boxed up until we need it." And then, you know, we thought we weren't going to need it because power never went out. Last night, 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up to do my business and I feel like a draft under the door. I go out in the living room and somehow the wind blew our front door wide open. Now, all 5 cats are there and they're safe, but the house is at 44 degrees inside.
Oh, that's cold.
So we shut the door and we turn the heat up and it's not touching it. And she goes, "You're going to have to open the kerosene heater." Now, a little thing here. I don't like kerosene heaters. I'm actually kind of afraid of them. I'm like, this is how people like die. Mm. And yet, I, you know, when your lady says something like that, so I put it together this morning and now the house is like 74. She's loving life. I am dying of heat.
And that's nice and toasty. I like
but
that.
But yeah, she could not be happier. But yeah, we almost like froze ourselves out of house and home, man. It's the second time that's happened. I really wish we had a screen door, but and because I put rubber stripping on the door is that it's not making a complete lock.
Got it. Okay.
So, I mean, if we don't really hit it, which I thought I did, but even still, even when we do, sometimes it just blows open. So
this is the secret. This is the secret sub podcast of weather things and stuff that sucks in the wintertime when you live in the Northeast.
Right. Totally. If you're listening to us in California, we hate you, but thanks for listening. So what about you? How's your storm been?
We only ended up getting about 9 inches of snow, but it was like 7 inches of snow, half an inch of ice, and then another inch of snow on top of it.
Ah, so it was 7 inches flaccid, then it got hard, and then, you know, yeah. Never mind.
Okay. So what it ended up doing, which was actually, I found this kind of interesting, it made like a shell around our cars. So like if you like broke like the front end of the shell and scooped out all the snow, there's this nice little encasement of ice around your car. It was actually kind of cool.
One of the reasons to talk about it is too. I mean, it definitely impacted the weekend. So
yeah, was pre-release weekend.
Right. Yay! Welcome back. See how I pivoted back to Magic?
Yes. Flawless.
So did you get to a pre-release event?
I was able to get to a pre-release, not to my original venue. I was going to go to a store in Albany, but their tournament didn't start until 2 o'clock, and that would mean I wouldn't be getting home till like 9, 10 o'clock at night, which was about the height of the storm, and I wasn't going to be doing that. So I was able to find another store that had their tournament on at 10, and so I went with that.
And you're liking that store, I think.
I am liking that store. They It's a,
give him a shout-out. Go ahead. Yeah, give him a shout-out.
It's Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill.
Okay.
It's a massive store. If they didn't have 2 other events going on at the same time, they probably could have held 100 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They had a feature match area, and it looks like they broadcast their feature matches on YouTube. this guy spares no expense with this store. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm hoping one day you can come down and see this store because it is like a mecca. It is gorgeous.
I feel like we should bring the club down there at some point, even though it's an hour away. I mean, maybe I can make that happen, but
maybe, yeah. I mean, they're let's see. Actually, Tuesday nights they have drafts at 6:30, so that could be a thing.
Ooh, yeah, no, that's not gonna happen on a weeknight. My gosh, man, I gotta sleep. That'd be an hour down there, and then I live an hour away from that. What are you, insane?
Well, my psychiatrist never told me to talk about this. But it's a great venue.
So how'd you do, though?
I actually finished in fourth place. I went 4-1. I actually would have gone undefeated. I made a couple of silly mistakes. I did some math wrong. But it was overall, I went with Gruul, and I was not disappointed.
No, you were not. I went to our midnight pre-release out here. As many of you know, my local game shop closed here. I'm actually north and west of Albany. So my local game shop here closed about a month ago. So there's another local game shop here, and they're pretty good. It's called Professor Bond's Emporium. It's run by this like family of like 20-something kids. Like, they got some inheritance, and they just opened a store. So they're still, you know, they're still feeling their way through. But overall, it was a well-done event. I, too, went Gruul. I went pretty well. I got rolled. My first game, we went back and forth. It was a Gruul and Gruul Rakdos mirror. So he had some Rakdos in there. He splashed a little in. I didn't. I could have. I just really hate playing three color on sealed. But he did pretty well. I mean, he rolled me game one. I sideboarded in game two. Really good cards. Got a good mana draw. Got a good thing. And beat him, and then, you know, game three, I milled, basically. I had to mull down to five. Ugh. So that sucked. But then game two, I was playing a Azorius deck, and, I mean, this guy could not get going. I was like, I really looked at Azorius, and I was like, holy cow, this is the worst in sealed. Like, all of your counter spells are in the other sets. Like, it's going to be great for standard. But as far as playing in a sealed event, Yeah. So, and then the third game, it was they were playing four rounds. So the third game started at like 2:30, 2:45. And we did pretty good. We went 1-1-1. He won the first game. I crushed him the second game. We played the third game, and he really kind of had me on the ropes, but he didn't realize we went to turns, and I certainly didn't tell him. And so we went to one. He could have had me. Actually, but and then it was, I'm not going to stay for the fourth round. I was like, it is 4 a.m. and I got the phone call from Wendy. Apparently she thought I was coming home earlier than that, so she woke up at like 3:30, freaked out that she thought I was in a ditch. So I'm like, no, I'm gonna hit a jet. So I mean, I got four packs out of it. I did buy the Planeswalker packs. Those are actually pretty decent. And you know, so I walked out with like my six packs. I won four packs, so there's 10, and then I got four packs out of the Planeswalker deck. So walked out with 14. So
now, what were the rares that you opened up in your sealed pool?
I got the worm. The big one was the worm.
Okay.
The green, the Ravager red. Worm. Yes, he saw play, and yeah. I liked him.
I saw him on what round was it? I think that was the round that I lost. I saw him round three. Worm. Yeah, I saw him on round three, and I was able to counteract him.
Oh, nice. It didn't open a Rhythm of the Wild. I had one Rhythm of the Wild, and I never saw it.
I didn't open one. I wish I had, but...
I did get a Shark to Crab, though. I felt pretty good about him.
Nice.
So,
and, the rares in my pool, the two big ones for me were my pre-release foil, which was Nikia of the Old Ways, which I was like, nice. Yes, that's a great card. And then I'm opening my packs, and there's an Endraise Forerunners. And I'm like, okay, we're good. So,
yep.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that during that round, I think it was the first game, we were back and forth. He played a Ravager Worm, and he put I don't remember if he gave it haste or put the counter on it. In the end, it didn't matter. He targeted one of my creatures, and I had, what was it? It was the split card that either just deals 6 damage to a flyer or gives your guy +4/+2 and trample.
Right.
And I was able to make my guy big enough so that it killed his worm and didn't kill my guy.
Yeah, and I did order... I opened a few Wrecking Beasts, too, that saved me. And believe it or not, you know what really saved me? Root Snares. I had three of them. And I used them every game. I was like, nope, nope, nope. They're like, really?
In a limited? I sideboarded the one that I had in against him. I didn't get to see it, but he was like, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. I was like, this is kind of great. I was all right. And it did. It kept me around for a little bit. I did get an end race for runners as well. I never saw it. But, yeah, you know, I was pretty happy with it. Looking at it, though, I was like, you know, it is. It's Gruul and Rakdos, really. Simic's all right. And Orzhov.
Orzhov is a very underrated.
Yeah.
Orzhov is a lot better than you think it is.
And Azorius is great in other decks. Do not play it in limited. Whatever you do, don't play it in limited.
Well, I mean, if you're going in like a draft and you're doing like the white blue flyers control archetype, you can probably get away with it. But I mean, Afterlife, that is a lot better than we thought. Afterlife is an absolute thing. Yeah.
So it was definitely a good, you know, it was a good night. It was an overnight, which, you know what's, yeah, I'm 45 years old. Holy cow. I mean, I was tired Saturday. But there is a certain power to like, yeah, I'm staying up and I'm playing. Rawr. Would I have played Saturday if a snowstorm wasn't coming in? Oh, you betcha. I would have totally done it that way. But, you know, and I don't know that I would have gone to Flights of Fantasy, like the one in Albany, because I don't want to play a long, like, 12-hour game. You know, that's a lot of magic. And I get that that makes me, you know, for those of you listening, if I lose some of you with that, I'm sorry. But, I mean, there are times where it's just like, okay, I hit a wall here. I'm like, I'm ready to go do something else now.
See, I like the longer, because the way that they, I don't know if they were doing it that time, but the way that they like to do it is they have a few rounds of sealed. They cut to a top eight if there's enough players.
Yeah, that's what they were going
to
do.
And then they booster draft to top eight. So you get both ends of the limited experience. And I kind of like that.
Would it have been an Allegiance booster draft?
Yeah, it would have been a Ravnica Allegiance draft.
Oh, well, even still, I was worried about Snowstorm, but that was what they were going to do.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go if a storm wasn't coming. But, I mean, I ended up having a great time at Kerwin's, and I definitely am planning to go back there. I'm probably going to try to see if I can get away with going to a couple of drafts a month on Tuesday nights.
Nice.
And, you know, they have Friday Night Magics on Friday, obviously Friday night, duh. And then on, I think, Wednesdays or Thursdays, they have Modern.
Well, talk to the host. We, you know, maybe we'll host them on our Twitch too and give them more exposure.
They have like a YouTube channel and everything. They have like they're part of, I think, a larger network of stores. So I think cool. They have some larger exposure through that.
Well, by us doing that, hopefully maybe they'll give us some.
Yeah, that's always possible.
Yes. So, I mean, overall, it wasn't as good as Guilds, I thought. Guilds had a little bit more, I don't know, diversity to it. Like, it was fun, but it was just a little...
I think we're going to have to go into a combat phase on that one, because I disagree.
Really?
I disagree.
Really now?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be next week then. Yeah, yep. There you go. There's something for episode 3.
Well, this is episode 4. There you go.
Yeah, I have no idea. So, you know, I think overall, I mean, it was fun and it was good. It was just, I don't know, it was like, you just saw a lot of the same things. You didn't see a lot of guys building Azorius. I saw a lot of Simic. Even guys that took the Azorius packs ended up building Simic.
There was a guy at the tournament that I saw. He opened up Orzhov. His deck was, Rakdos. I want to say it was Rakdos.
Yeah, that happened to somebody of mine too. Same thing. And he opened, well, somebody else opened Gruul, and they ended up playing like the complete opposite. They ended up playing like green, blue. I think they ended up playing Azorius.
Now, this is the one thing that I don't like about how they do this pre-release format with the guilds, is that
right. You
pick your guild before you get there. There's no guarantee you're going to get any support for your guild outside of your seeded pack.
Right, and now you're losing. And the other problem is that with the seeded pack, if the other decks don't build your deck, I mean, maybe we're saying the same thing, if the other decks don't help your deck, you basically lost an entire deck or entire pack.
Yeah, you've wasted a bunch of time.
Yeah. Like, well, no, it's not just that. You wasted a bunch of cards, like a bunch of synergy you could have built because you have one pack of green-red. I mean, really, honestly, charge us $6 more. Give us 6 packs and a seeded pack. You know, that probably would have been would be a lot better, because I mean, it gives you kind of the option to kind of screw around, and you're definitely going to want to play these green red cards. But if you open a pack with a whole bunch of like orange or white and black, you know, you would play that.
Now I was lucky in the sense that I had enough cards to build my Gruul deck. I actually was considering a Rakdos splash because I had the 4/3 Rakdos creature with the, you know, 2 red, 2 black.
Right.
I had him. I had the card that lets you take a card out of anybody's graveyard at instant speed, a creature card, give it +2/+0 in haste.
Right.
I had that, and I also had the Captive Audience.
Yeah, Captive Audience is stupid.
So I thought about it really hard because I also opened up a Blood Crypt. So I was I have the mana base for it, but I was like, I can't make that much. The double black on that one, was it a Fire Wheeler, I think it's called? The double black on that card, it was the only thing that really stopped me from doing it. And I think, honestly, it wouldn't have really made too much of a difference if I hadn't, if I had Splash or not.
Well, what helped me too, I mean, don't get me wrong, is that I did manage to also, I did also open Wilderness.
Wilderness Reclamation.
I opened that as well in my Gruul deck. So that did help my mana base. And then I also opened the blue-green one. Hold on here. It's going to come to me.
The Growth Spiral?
I'm sorry. It's later today. Yeah, Growth Spiral. And I opened one of those. So again, I almost, in between that and Shark the Crab, I got to tell you, there was a part of me that was like, I wonder if I shouldn't sprinkle, you know, splash a little green in on this. Mm-hmm. And again, it was like, I really don't think I want to go 3 colors. It really was important to me not to get out there like that. So,
right.
And overall, I had a good time. I mean, the cards I'm looking to get now, I mean, I want to get 2 Hydroid Crasises for the Turbo Fog deck, for the Nexus deck. Because I think that replaces, for me anyway, that card replaces Karn. Every time I've played it, that card comes in, and that card's a game ender. So, because usually if I'm casting it, I'm casting it on turn 12. So I've got enough mana, you know, I'm paying 2 and then 10, and untapping all my lands at end step. So I'm looking for some of those. I'm going to try to get 2 of those this week, and then I'll buy a box. I'm going to probably buy a box on Friday.
Yeah, there's no reason not to. I mean, this is one of the best sets that have come out in a while. I think it's the power level is high. The amount of decks that it opens up is high. They've been doing a great job. These last 3-4 sets have been fantastic.
Yeah, Dominaria has been. I mean, not counting Core 19. Core 19 was all right, but it's a core set. It was what it's supposed to be.
You kind of saw a hint of all this good stuff coming with Rivals of Ixalan. They sprinkled in some cards like, I didn't think they were going to print that card. Like, you know, the things that does what it do. Oh, wow, that didn't come out as English.
Wow, there you go.
But anyway, you know, starting with some of the cards in Rivals, you could...
Sorry, go again.
You could sort of see where they were going with this. And then when Dominaria came out, even Corset, and then the 2 Ravnica sets, I mean, they've done a fantastic job with this, and I'm really looking forward to the next set, War of the Spark.
Yeah, War of the Spark, I'm beginning to think we might be right on that one, by the way.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at a Planeswalker, or at the very least, a lot of Legendary, like Dominaria.
Dominaria
is rotating out with this set, correct? When does that happen? War of the Spark is... Or is it going to be with the... it's going to be with the core sets now, right?
Well, no. Core set's going to be... The War of the Spark's going to be part of the Standard. I believe this next core set's going to be part of the Standard. It's the set in the fall. Whatever set comes this fall is going to be the one
that'll be the core set, because War of the Spark is April.
Yeah, but didn't they release Core Set in July?
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I think they released Core Set in July, then they released the next set in September, October.
Yeah. I mean, rotation for this, I mean, to lose what we're going to lose is going to be... But apparently we're going to be all right, especially if they give us a whole lot of Planeswalkers.
Oh, well, we're going to have a full set of Shocklands, too, so the mana's still going to be good.
Yeah, I love that. I need to get some of those. I need to get some more Shocklands. I mean, my mana base for that Turbo Fog deck is still... struggling, but it's doing better. So, but yeah, I'm probably, like I said, I'll buy a box. You got some decent cards over the week. You bought what, 2 boxes?
I bought 2 boxes, yep.
And what were the things you pulled?
I pulled 2 Domries. I pulled 2 Kaias. I pulled 6 or 7 Shocklands. I mean, it's just lots of good stuff. I had 2 Precognitive Perceptions. I had a Sphinx of Foresight.
Did you get a full set of Girl Spiral in the other one?
I would assume so. I haven't looked through all my uncommons yet. But I remember opening at least three Wilderness Reclamations.
Yeah. Now I got two in the set, so I was like, woohoo! I'll be honest. I TCG player two more and three Girl Spirals because that's what I needed for that deck. So they're already on their way for like $4. I just don't care.
I could have just mailed you some. I'm probably going to have like 9 or 10 copies of Growth Spiral by the time
I want to have them to smack around the students. Mm-hmm. So I want to be sure. So
I'm trying to look through. Oh yeah, I got two Electro Dominance, two Rixmati Revelers.
Those are amazing. Two Electro Skargan. Dominance is going to change red.
Yeah, two Skargan Hellkites.
Yep.
Yeah, I got like duplicates of a lot of mythics. Two Absorbs.
Well, this brings us to our main topic for today, which is okay. So this was pre-release weekend, and let's go right into
main phase.
All right, so we're in our main phase, and our main topic today is to talk about next weekend. The next weekend is the real release of everything. You can go to Walmart, get your bundles, the whole nine yards. Although we recommend your local game shop.
Yes.
But next weekend is draft weekend. Mm-hmm. So everybody's doing draft. So, you know, after doing a pre-release, and I've been playing on Arenas a lot, you know, we want to give you guys kind of like the cards to kind of look for if you open a pack of Allegiance, and you know, this is how the best way to draft. And again, this is all opinion, and it's all, nothing's a sure thing. It all depends on what everybody else is drafting too. I mean, you know, Aramis, what is your, you know, when it comes to drafting, what is your strategy as far as, you know, keeping an eye out for things, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I mean, when you open your first pack, it depends on really what you want to do. Some people, when they draft, they have a plan. I'm going to draft this archetype, and they force that archetype no matter what, as best they can. Other people, they just take the best card in the pack and go from there. I tend to lean towards that direction. I'll open up the pack. I'll see, you know, first of all, do I have a bomb rare? Okay. If I don't have a bomb rare, what's the best card in the pack? Usually, you know, you want to get some removal spells. You want to get some, maybe a little bit of card draw. Maybe a big efficient creature. And from there, you just, you know, it's watching the signals, seeing what's open, and being able to adapt your strategy as the packs go through. So you're not stuck in a color combination that actually isn't open and you get garbage. You're going to run into that more with especially this set and the last set, because people are going to draft Simic, or they're going to draft Azorius, or they're going to draft Dimir.
Rakdos.
Rakdos. You know,
well, a lot of them will go after Gruul and Rakdos, probably top two. Everybody's thinking the same thing on that one.
Well, I mean, again, that's it's the type of thing where you would see, because if you open up a pack and you have Seraph of the Scales, you're looking at Orzhov.
Yep.
And
that's
not
a terrible thing.
That is not a bad thing to look at.
Not in sealed, not in a sealed form, or a
draft
limited format. Yeah. You know, obviously, here's the thing: if you open Electro Dominance, you're playing red.
Unless,
for God's sake, play red.
Unless,
yeah,
you get no other red cards. If red gets cut off, there's no sense in doing it. At the very least, you got yourself a nice rare.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, there are two styles to drafting. Some people draft to quote unquote, you know, build their collection, or hate draft. You know, if they know that somebody else is... By the second pack, you usually have an idea of what everybody's doing and the guy next to you and some... Not that I say you should do this, but let's face it. There are people that when they draft, they will hold their cards way the hell out as they're doing it. And it's like, I'm trying not to look at your hand, but dude, you're not making it easy. You know, and...
Do not cheat.
Do not cheat. That's not cheating. Is that
do
cheating?
Not, it is cheating. Do not cheat. Do not cheat.
Okay.
I mean, the person should know better, but do not cheat.
You're right. Well, I'm not
suggesting. I mean, if you're in a larger tournament, the way that they have you hold your cards, basically, and the way the table is laid out basically prevents that from happening, because there's enough distance between the players so you can't really see what they're doing anyway.
Without leaning over.
Yeah, in which case it's obvious and you deserve to get kicked out of the tournament.
Right.
But, you know, just, you might, like, maybe some of the type of things like, listen, keep your cards so that other people can't see them, because I can almost see them. Just to give them a heads up. Because,
I've done that. Yeah. And I have done that. But you usually can tell.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody will say something or do something, and it's just like, dude. You know, like the guy, I think the last draft we were at, the guy sitting next to me, you were there. I was like, we basically were drafting the same thing. We ended up talking about it, being like, all right, listen, I'm passing this over to you. Merry Christmas, you know. But, you know, whatever you do, be cognizant of what's coming around the table.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and don't cheat. Cheaters
and
suck.
Don't cheat.
Cheaters suck. So, I think, you know, so you always look at the rare. If the rare is something, you know, there are some pretty dumb rares, to be quite honest. You know, let's see. I'm see if I can pick one out here.
You mean like a benthic biomancer? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to first pick that. You know, you're not going to first pick Awaken the Erstwhile. You know, it's okay. Let's each player discards all the cards in their hand and then creates that many 2/2 black zombie creature tokens. Eh, that's not that great.
So yeah, at the end of the day, the thing is, don't cheat. Cheating sucks. Don't do that. But you know, look at the cards you're getting and draft like that, and you know that's the way to go.
Yep, it's always good to read your signals. Sometimes you, if you're getting past amazing cards, then hell, take the amazing cards.
Oh yeah.
But if you've taken something like an Electro Dominance or a Scargan Hellkite, and you're noticing that the red you're getting is kind of eh, but Simic seems to be open. I mean, you could either stay the course or, you know, pivot into another color, because the worst case scenario is maybe you were trying to draft Rakdos and you see that Simic is open. You're not getting a lot of red. You could go into Simic. You could even go into Gruul, depending on what it is. You know, you have to be able to keep your options open.
Yeah, that's really the key. And I mean, I'm not a good drafter. I will admit that. When it comes to drafting, I'm not that good. I don't read very well. I need to work on that. I try to do it with Arena as much as I can. That's one thing I hate about Arena, is that it costs you money or it costs you coins to draft. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, why not give us the ability to phantom draft, to really work on drafting, to really work on, you know, perfecting that. Because that's a skill that takes time, but it also costs a lot of money. And it's like, damn, you know, I don't want to do that much.
Yeah, because one of the things you run into is that cards could fall into three categories. The card is great and constructed, okay and sealed, terrible in draft. And it's weird how the same card can be valued completely differently in three different formats.
Exactly. Like blue and white in sealed. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we got some decent... I faced a bunch of people got Persistent Petitioners. I mean, that was a decent card.
Look at Endraise Forerunners, for example. In sealed and in draft, it's an absolute bomb. This card will win you games almost every time.
Yeah.
Constructed, it's good, but it's not a card that you're typically going to want to run because it's 8 mana. You're never going to be able to ramp out to it if you are, you know, and if you are, they're probably just going to counter it or kill it. And you don't get the maximum value off it, whereas, you know, there are fewer obstacles to run into in a limited environment. So a card like that is just is just absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it's actually what really helped me were some of the adapt. Growth Chamber Guardian was huge for me with Riot.
Yeah.
Because I would get all this stuff out. I had, like, you know, like I said, I had I also had the Rampaging Rendhorn, but I also had a bunch of the Riot creatures, Racking Beast, things of that nature, and then he'd come in and, you know, become stupid. And because I had the Wilderness Reclamation, I would bring him out for his, you know, two, and already got a bunch of creatures out there with 1/1s, and, or it wasn't Growth Chamber Guardian. What the hell was it? There was another one that does, I'm sorry, something similar, because I actually didn't use him.
Could have been Soraform Hybrid. Because he cost 6 to adapt 4.
No, it's a Trollbred Guardian, because it was
oh,
expensive.
Yeah.
He cost 5, so I'd come out, I'd bring him out for 5, and I brought him out on turn 5. I'd bring him out, so I already got a bunch of things out, and I'd adapt him right away. Boom. And one guy's like, wait, why are you doing that? How can you do that right now? I'm like, Wilderness Reclamation.
Yeah.
He's like, he looked at that, and he's like, oh.
Yeah, oh, wow. So like a lot of what the professionals are saying is that like in sealed, Wilderness Reclamation is actually not supposed to be that great. But it, you know, it all depends on how your deck plays out. Sometimes
in adapt, I think it's ridiculous that it's necessary.
Yeah, if you're running a deck that has a lot of mana sinks, being able to tap out with impunity on your turn because you know everything's going to untap is so good.
Well, it was also just bumping him to 7/7 pre their turn.
Because
he had when I did this, I mean, the guy was playing, it was the Gruul Rakdos match. He had a bunch of big stupid dumb beasts out. And so being able to have a 7-7 sitting next to, you know, another 7-7 with what I have, not Rampaging Renhorn. Okay, so it was a later turn because I had Wrecking Beast out. That's right. So I had Wrecking Beast out, and I gave him the 1-1 because I knew I was sitting on the Guardian. So I played Guardian and did it, bring him out. Now I've got two 7-7s sitting there. You know, go ahead. Come to town.
Yeah, that, I think that's Gruul's biggest advantage, especially if you get, like, Adapt Creature, is that their dude is just going to be bigger than your dudes.
Yep.
Almost every time. I mean, it's going to take, you know, two for ones or three for ones in order for them to kill your guys. And it's just, if you have a critical mass of cards with Riot, you know, you're like 4-4 haste dude, go. 4-4 haste dude, go. 6-6 haste trample, go. And it's like, you just can't keep up with that kind of pressure.
No. And that's how I won every match, pretty much, was I would just boom, 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 boom. And I mean, just hitting each other.
Yep. And you throw in some Adapt guys, and you're like, well, you know, he doesn't have haste, but he's going to be a 7-7 real soon. Hope you can deal with this.
So it was a pretty decent night. It was a pretty good match. I mean, so that's the type of stuff that you're going to look for, is cards that work well together. And, you know, don't limit yourself to color. Don't go there. Go there with an idea. Like, definitely do your research. There are places. Channel Fireball. Wizards, obviously. You know, MTG Goldfish. Other areas where you can read up on good draft strategies. I mean, you know, I'm not going to read their articles to you because that's just kind of crappy. But, I mean, there are some pretty great limited cards out there. I mean, you know, Skatewing Spy, I actually kind of dig. Each creature you control with a 1-1 counter has flying. Well, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And if you put that in a Simic Gruul deck, things get kind of fun.
Well, like Sentinel's Mark is a great card in limited.
Yes. What is it? What to read? What it does?
It's a 1 and a white enchantment, has flash. It's an aura, so an enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+2 and has vigilance. Has addendum where if you cast it during your main phase, the enchanted creature gains lifelink until end of turn.
Nice.
It's a very, very good card.
Especially in limited.
Yeah.
The Galloping Lizrog. When he enters the battlefield, you can remove any number of 1-1 counters from other creatures you control. And if you do, put twice that many 1-1 counters on Galloping Lizrog. So he comes in as 3-3, paying 5. But if you have enough out there, he, you know, becomes stupid. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like, and definitely Electric Dominance. I mean, that's the one, I mean, that's a card I'm going to chase for a bit for my red deck wins deck, because that's just the synergy with that and everything else that you do in red, especially that, yeah. That stupid goblin there, the Spear Spewer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 1-mana defender. 0-2, but hey, you tap him, he deals 1 damage to each player. Well, that kicks Spectacle off, so you get to play Skewer the Critics for 1 mana. You get to play Electro Dominance. You get to play... It's like, ow.
Well, I mean, you know, Electro Dominance is one of those cards that, even if you only cast it for 4, you cast an Electro Dominance, follow that up with a free Dagger Caster, or, you know, a free Gore Clan Wrecker, or, you know, some random thing that costs 4 mana. It doesn't even have to be red. It could be green or blue or whatever. And you can really take off from there, because it's a minimum 2-for-1. You're getting so much value out of it.
Totally. There was a lot of land hate in this, too. I saw some pretty stupid rubble reading I played a few times, and I was like, really? Just you guys are going to start doing land hate? All right.
Well, I mean, I don't think rubble reading's that good. I mean, it's you're only blowing up 1 land for 4 mana. You only scry 2. I mean, it might help you filter out your next couple of draws, but the grand scheme of things, unless they're already mana screwed, it's not going to really get you that far ahead.
Right. And I definitely was playing 23-17 with Gruul. I mean, I almost went, you know, 22-18, but I wanted really... I felt with Wilderness, having 2 Wilderness Reclamations that I pulled, I was like, well, I can kind of fix my mana on my own. Hmm. You know? It's an interesting kind of concept, but I don't know. What were your thoughts on final thoughts, as it were, for pre-release and draft?
Another great set. Another, you know, there's a lot of archetypes out there you can go with this. Just, again, watch your signals. If you open ridiculous stuff, it's sometimes the decks build themselves. Yes. If you open Ethereal Absolution, take it and go Orzhov, because that is probably the best card in the set.
Ethereal Absolution. What is it? White and black?
Yeah, that is an enchantment for 4, a white and a black. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Creatures your opponents control get -1/-1. You pay 2, a white and a black. Exile target card from an opponent's graveyard. If it was a creature card, you create a 1/1 white and black spirit token with flying. So that means with it, it's actually a 2/2 flyer.
Right.
So all your dudes get bigger, all their dudes get smaller. It's just, it's ridiculous. And it you know, it hates on the graveyard. It gives you more creatures. It's just a great, great, great card.
Especially in limited. It costs 6 to get out, but, you know.
White and black can survive for that because they have a lot of lifelink. They have a lot of removal. And you drop that thing, you may not win the game, but you are in a great position at that point because combat math gets so much harder for them at that point.
Right. Well, the +1 and -1 period. And, I mean, if you can get it, you know, with out there with Kaya or...
I mean, it lets your 1/1s trade with 3/3s.
Yeah, basically. It's so, kind of great, actually. So.
It's really good, yeah.
So I definitely, you know, keep an eye out for that. I mean, drafting is always kind of an interesting strategy, but it's definitely worth doing. It's definitely worth going to your local game shop. Make sure, you know, we go and buy a bunch of stuff from them, too, by the way, because, hey, you know what? They need the money. Mm.
They do. Drafting is a great way to learn card valuation. It's a great way to learn how to build decks. It's a great way to just to get better at the game. I mean, because even if you're not doing great, you can, if they're nice enough, you can ask other players, say, hey, you know, what was your strategy going into the draft? How do you figure out which cards are better than other ones? That type of thing. I would say at least 70% of the time, they're going to want to help you if you ask.
Yes. Once they've drafted. Don't ask
once
during the draft.
Once they've drafted. Don't ask during the draft. No, yeah. Don't ask during the draft. But after the draft or in between rounds or something, if you happen to catch somebody who's friendly, it's like, hey, you know, I built this deck. I don't really think it's that great. But, you know, what do you think are tips to get better at drafting? They'll help you out. But,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, consume the media. You know, read the articles, listen to podcasts, watch YouTube videos. There's plenty of resources out there to help you. We're just, you know, we're just another resource to try to get you to play better.
So I think we should go right into combat. You know, we've talked a little bit about our recommendations, but, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about the meta. So let's go into combat phase now and discuss that a little bit. All right, I'm taking the first shots this week. All righty. So combat. With the new set of Ravnica Allegiance, I've been playing a lot of arenas. So with that, I mean, I've seen a lot of really, really good decks. I think the best one, I think we're going to both agree on, which make me combat really weird. But I'm going with, I think the top shelf, but one of the best decks you're going to see out there is going to be Bant Nexus. It's green, white, blue, and Nexus of Fate with Growth Spiral and Wilderness Reclamation with all of the other turbo fogging you can do. I'm hanging against almost every deck. What are your thoughts, Aaron?
I think that Turbo Fog will definitely emerge as a tier one deck. I'm not going to go so far as saying it's going to be the best deck in the format.
Okay.
It looks like Black Red Aristocrats is going to make a comeback.
Yes.
With Judith the Scourge Diva. I haven't seen too much of it yet. I don't know if it's just because of the matches I've been playing, but I haven't seen a bunch of cards with a bunch of decks with Ravnica Allegiance. But I from what I've read. People are very, very high on Judith, at least early on. They're still, you know, obviously if the metagame adjusts to it, but she is another one of those cards that makes combat math hard, and she just is just oozing with value.
Yeah.
Black Red aggro is going to be very, very good because they can just burn you out faster than you'd be able to Turbo Fog.
And I am getting a ton of burn. Don't get me wrong. I do lose to burning, but... Mm-hmm. I'm still seeing, and I mean, I've been playing a lot, probably at least an hour or two the last 3 days.
Yeah, it's another one of those situations where in the best of one format, the burn decks are going to have the advantage.
Yes.
If you are able to sideboard, I think Bant Nexus would have a would be able to adapt its game in order to counteract it better.
My sideboard is pretty much counter magic, which is what you're going to need in that, is you're going to need to be able to counter the spells. But
even just like a nominal amount of life gain, putting in maybe like a, what was the name of that Archangel? That'd be a nice little surprise.
Well, there's the one that lets you draw a card, too. We are so good at this.
I was thinking of Angel of Grace, though.
Ah. I like Angel of Grace, but there's that other, it's a white, it lets you draw a card and gain two life. And I should so edit this out.
I don't think I know which card that is. Are you talking about the card draw spell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a...
Sphinx's Insight.
Nope. No. Well, besides that, I'm not talking from this set. It's actually been being played in Core 19. Well, there's Dawn of Hope.
Revitalize. Gain three, draw card.
Yeah, Revitalize.
Yeah.
That's actually a good card. That's a good, that's a good sideboard as well. Hold on, we're going to totally edit this. So I think Revitalize would be a good card to have in there. So draw a card, gain three life.
Yeah, that could be something you could do. I mean, there's again, it's one of those things where you can really, it's all based on your local metagame. If nobody's playing Burn, then you don't got to worry about it. From what I've seen and from what I've played, Bant Nexus is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. There are times that it is just so absolutely stupid the amount of mana you're able to generate that you can go off so fast. It's great.
Well, I mean, I've been playing it with the multicolored, like I think I told you this before we went on the air. I'm playing him a lot with Hydroid Krasis, and he's actually replaced Karn for me. Because, if I can get it going and I get the machine going, if I can get to turn 11, turn 12, to have 12, 13, 14 mana out, to be able to pay 2 and put 12 on him, draw 6 cards, gain 6 life, and then I have a 12-12 flyer sitting out there, and I take the next turn, game over. Boom, 2 rounds.
Do you want to hear something scary?
What's that?
There is some discussion out there based on an article I was reading. There is a version of Turbo Fog out there that is simply blue-green, doesn't play any white, doesn't play Teferi, because it doesn't need it.
Yeah, I'm noticing that too with the Wilderness Reclamation. I've had Teferi be...
redundant.
Well, not just that. They go after it. Like, and I mean, he's great for a target. Like, they are Ixalan's binding the hell out of him. And I'm just like, okay.
That used to be an auto-lose. Used to be an auto-lose for Turbo Fog. If they Ixalan's binding your Teferi, you were done. I mean, now that means they have 2 targets for Ixalan's binding, but... Wilderness Reclamation, it's so sick to say. Wilderness Reclamation kind of makes Teferi not necessary.
Yeah, and
you can still use him.
Yeah. I've got another friend, and we were talking about some of the bans, which we'll go into later. But we were talking about a possible standard ban, and he's like, oh no, Nexus of Fate will be almost assured. Every article he's reading, because of Wilderness Reclamation and Growth Spiral, that combo... It's broken. It's mostly broken. I think you're going to see it at a Grand Prix, and if it rolls at a Grand Prix,
it's not the combo that's broken. It's Wilderness Reclamation that's broken.
Yeah,
it's probably the most powerful card in the set.
Yeah, and it's an uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Remember,
let's put that out there.
I talked about this last week. I said this card is ridiculous. Here's the thing, though. I think if they're going to ban anything, they're banning Wilderness Reclamation.
I don't think you're going to be able to. I think there's too many. Because I think they built Simic to make it comparable with Gruul or with Rakdos. Simic and Gruul, because you could put Wilderness Reclamation in a Gruul deck, and it really, really helps Simic. I don't know. I don't know if they'll do that. I could see them doing Nexus because it also would be a very popular.
That would be too surgical of a strike, I think.
Okay.
Because
a lot of people said that about KCI.
Yeah, but the difference about KCI was that it's. The other cards that they were considering enable a bunch of other different types of decks. We haven't seen if Wilderness Reclamation is going to take off in decks other than Nexus. And I don't think they're going to ban a card that people have to shell out money to get.
Right.
You can't open Nexus of Fate in booster packs. You have to buy either buy a box if you were lucky enough to get one, or buy it off the secondary market. And right now they're about $30 a piece. So I really don't see them banning Nexus of Fate, because I know that without Wilderness Reclamation, Nexus isn't anywhere near as good.
Right.
And you could ban the Wilderness Reclamation. Nexus is still a deck. It's tier 2.5 at that point.
Oh, so, I won't play it. I wouldn't play it.
People could play it and surprise somebody through a tournament, but it's not going to dominate. Wilderness Reclamation, if the format's not fast enough, this deck will dominate the metagame, I think.
It's an interesting idea. I don't know. I think I could see them doing Nexus would be the way they'd go, because it was already like, shouldn't we ban Nexus of Fate after before the meta changed, just before Guilds of Ravnica, everybody was talking about ban Nexus. I think this is going to give them the, fire they need to do it. I don't know. I could be wrong. But, I mean, I don't think they should have banned. I kind of wish they would bring Rampage Ferocidon out.
I was just going to mention that, actually. I was going to say, I think they unbanned Ferocidon before they banned Nexus.
Wow. I don't think they'll ever unban Ferocidon.
They won't.
It kills Celestia. Standard.
Well, it kills Celestia and it kills Orzhov.
Yeah, it kills Orzhov huge. They won't ban it from Standard. They will never unban that from Standard. No. That's going to go into it's still playable in Modern, but
It's just surprising that they would print a card as powerful as Wilderness Reclamation. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they banned it in the next 6 months.
I don't know. I would be surprised, but I mean, it does have the longest too. I mean, a lot of people thought they wouldn't ban Rampaging Ferocidon because it was too new. Like, it was just out of the set.
That's the thing. That's what surprised me. When they ban that, that really opens the door for them to really, if they think something's an issue, they have no qualms about pulling the plug right away.
That would suck. I really like Wilderness. I do. I love that card.
It's silly. It's powerful.
And I think we were right about another thing. I'm sorry. Red? Mono Red got sick stuff. I mean, again, we've talked about Electro Dominance. We've talked about, you get to destroy an artifact again with Deface. Mm-hmm. You know, it's killing a wall or an artifact. Well, it'll never kill a freaking wall. You're always going to use it. One mana drop to kill an artifact. But, I mean, Electro Dominance is huge. Light up the stage. Mm. You know, along with, Skewer the Critics. I mean, to be able to... You play Spear Spewer on turn one. Turn two, you use its ability, deal one damage. Boom, you get to now hit somebody for three on turn two with Skewer the Critics, because you get to pay the spectacle cost. And if you've mana-based right, you still have another red mana to be able to bring something else out. Mm-hmm. Like maybe Light Up the Stage to have everything ready to go for your turn three. That is a ridiculous combo.
I think most of the mono red decks are going to be splashing black for Judith and Rick's Monty Reveler and cards like that to be able to refill their hand. Possibly even what the heck is the name of that card? It's the enchantment that's sort of like Experimental Frenzy.
But is it red green or is it?
It's red black. It's red black.
Oh.
Hold on. I need to find it.
Not Bedevil.
It's not Bedevil.
Captive Audience.
Nope, it's not Captive Audience either.
Well, that I actually had that played on me earlier. I had two of them. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Theater of Horrors.
Oh, screw you.
Theater of Horrors. That card is they're going to be splashing for that card, because think about that one. Is because those cards that get exiled, they stay there.
Yep.
It's not just that one card you can play. You can play any of the cards that are exiled with that.
Yep, you have to kill that thing quick.
Yeah. I think that's going to replace Experimental Frenzy.
It might.
Which is saying something, because Experimental Frenzy is crazy.
Well, I think it'll be working in concert, because Experimental Frenzy still allows you the opportunity to top deck. Like, Experimental Frenzy is a great card for late in the red game when you've burned out. And you're out of gas. Mm-hmm. Experimental Frenzy is like, okay, I'm just top decking. This is good. I don't think this card does that. I think it'll be working in concert with it. I mean, it depends on how many things you can get underneath the card. And it only happens at upkeep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, All right, and it costs three to get out. So say you're going six rounds, okay, because it's red and black. You don't want to go to, like, a round eight or nine. You know, you're trying to get this done by round six, seven, eight at the latest. You know, if you get into round 10, you got problems. Unless you have an experimental frenzy where you can be top decking everything you play.
Mm. Well, this also does have a valve to turn on spectacle, though. So
it does. I see that.
Yeah.
The pay one mana or pay three and
pay four. Yeah, it's four.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that's going to be there. Again, I think Jund. I could see red, black, green because of the Rhythm of the Wild. But again, I really, the red, that stupid combination of being able to do one damage to somebody for, you know, directly, and then be able to spectacle in some pretty stupid stuff. And if you get the wizards out, then you're also wizard lightning on round, you know.
Yeah.
It can get, it has, believe me, I played it. And the hardest decks I play when I'm playing my turbo, playing Nexus, Bat Nexus, hardest decks are these reds. I mean, they are not attacking me anymore. They are burning me. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting meta. I really think that, I think Bant Nexus is going to be top shelf. I think behind that mono red, or you might be right, they might splash black, but it's going to be red.
Yeah, it's going to be mostly red. There's going to be a splash for black, but the black cards that they're going to splash are going to be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the great thing about the new set, especially this set in particular. Just it opens up so much.
It really does. It really, really does. And it's going to become, I mean, and then the next set, the War of the Spark, forget about it.
Yeah, I think that's, I was talking to a couple of people at the pre-release, and they're like, I wonder if that means they're going to print a Planeswalker at rare. And I said, yeah. I don't know. I mean, because you figure what they're probably going to do. This is my prediction. This is what I'm going to put out there to the world. I think there's going to be six Planeswalkers in the next set.
Probably.
It's going to be probably, I'm going to say Gideon. I'm going to say Liliana. Nicol Bolas. Probably a Johnny. I'm going to say Chandra.
Yep.
And either Jace or Teferi.
You think they'd want to put a Teferi in to go past rotation?
Because one will rotate out and the other one will still be there.
Right.
But I'm thinking it's either going to be the last one will be Jace or Teferi. Actually, it'll probably be Jace.
Yeah.
It'll most likely be Jace because they did one for Ixalan, but now, remember, he has all his memories back. He has all his powers now. Ooh, yeah. He's the Gatewatch, and it's going to be on Ravnica, and it's the last battle against Nicol Bolas. So, yeah, he's going to have all his bells and whistles unlocked. It's going to be Jace the Mind Sculptor version 2.0, and it's going to be ridiculous.
Right. I can't disagree with that. So let's go out of combat, and I mean, I think I won. Bet Nexus, aha.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm 2-0. I'm just gonna take all my win and walk away. Yeah.
Main phase.
Alrighty, so finally, we're coming into the, we're gonna start wrapping things up here. We're coming up to the hour mark, but I didn't want to let tonight go. We had a major announcement today. Basically, and this is more modern, so again, it's kind of out of our wheelhouse, so forgive us for this.
This is something that we saw coming a mile away.
Yep. It's basically, you've heard us talk about it. I think the KCI deck, it's a Krark Clan Ironworks. Mm-hmm. It was a broken deck. I mean, it was really starting to run away with modern. There was one guy playing it and he started going off and everybody started playing it and it killed. There was almost no way to sideboard against it. There's no way to play against it. It was a very, very complex deck. The way that those people that played it lost was they screwed up.
Yep.
And they made a mistake. So it was complex, but if you were playing that deck the way you were supposed to play, it was almost an assured win. So
it just would take forever.
Yeah. And it really worked off of three cards. KCI, which is the Krark Clan's Ironworks, Ancient Stirrings, and Mox Opal. And everybody that I listen to, again, I listen to other podcasts, and everybody was saying the same thing when the announcement came out that we were going to get another banning. Everybody was like, it's going to be Ancient Stirrings. It's going to be Mox Opal. It's going to be KCI itself. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. I had a feeling it was going to be KCI because they wanted to break just KCI, which is another reason I think they're going to break Turbo Fog by killing Nexus. Because Ancient Stirrings and Mox Opal are in so many other decks, and they're so key to so many other decks, that if you're just trying to kill KCI, if you're going to be surgical about it, you kill KCI. You leave Ancient Stirrings and Mox Opal alone. And they even said in the thing, which is really great, that Ancient Stirrings and Mox Opal in the statement from Wizards, they're like, represent two categories of cards that R&D keeps a careful eye on. Card selection and fast mana. It's basic. Bear in mind that this is... they said, as modern stands, our metagame data does not indicate a need to impact the other Ancient Stirrings or Mox Opal decks.
Yet.
Bear in mind, this is great, that this is based on the current state of the metagame, and that Ancient Stirrings and Mox Opal are not being given a free pass in perpetuity. While we have no current plans to take action against these two cards, we will continue to monitor the health of the environment and the strengths of the decks that use them. What that means is, if you go out today and buy three or four Mox Opals and three or four Ancient Stirrings for $1,800 or whatever, yeah, they're not going to feel bad about banning it next month.
Mm-hmm. So here's, I do have to jump in. The KCI combo itself wasn't those three cards.
Right.
It was Karklan Ironworks, Scrap Trawler, and Mirror Retriever. And the way that it worked is it played with triggers and when you could respond to mana abilities, and it was really complex because Karklan Ironworks is an artifact for four colorless mana that says sacrifice an artifact to add two colorless mana to your mana pool.
Right.
Scrap Trawler was an artifact that basically read, when it died or another artifact died, I believe. Let me look it up real quick.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that Mox Opal and Ancient Stirrings let you get the machine started turn one, turn two.
Yeah, it helps get the machine started, and it basically what Wizards is saying is that they have a target on their backs and they're going to keep an eye on it.
Right.
So whenever Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card with lesser converted mana cost. And then that also comboed with Mirror Retriever, which basically read, when Mirror Retriever dies, return another target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. So here's where we get to blow your mind. Ironworks is in play. You can sacrifice both the Mirror Retriever and the Scrap Trawler to the Ironworks. Because you're activating a mana ability, you can't respond to those sacrifices or interact with them in any way. So they're going to get that 4 mana no matter what. Once you're done adding mana... That's the easy part. So once you're done sacrificing those two cards, you've got 4 mana in your pool. Hopefully you've got some other sources of mana floating around. The Mirror Retriever and the Scrap Trawler triggers both go on the stack. You order it so that the Scrap Trawler trigger gets the Mirror Retriever trigger gets the Scrap Trawler. If you've got some extra mana, you start replaying things. It gets ridiculous. It eventually gets to the point where you're drawing your entire deck and you're killing them with infinite Pyrite spell bombs. The problem with the deck was that even if piloted correctly, sometimes it would take 15 minutes or more to go through one turn. And that was just something that...
With no interaction, by the way.
No interaction from the opponent. This guy's just sitting there sacrificing, shuffling cards, drawing cards, adding mana. And it's essentially infinite mana at this point. And it got really complex. I mean, even pros who'd played this game for years and are really good at rules interactions would get it wrong. But that's after 10 minutes of going through the loop. You know, so I'm glad that they did it. I mean, part of me is sad because I wanted to actually pick up the deck and try to learn how to play it. But... Yeah, it was a good thing for Modern to ban Karklan Ironworks because, again, it's another Meriden block artifact that ended up being broken in half. Surprise.
Well, exactly. So it's going to change things up. When's the next Standard announcement?
This would have been the time for the announcement.
I don't think so. I think Standard and Modern are done differently.
No, it's all one big thing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all done at once. All the banned and restricted announcements are done at once.
Oh, okay.
I think they do it after every set.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Very so the good. Next the next announcement is in March, and we'll see what happens.
Right. Well, we definitely need to speak about that. I mean, hopefully in March things will look better, but. You know, for this weekend, definitely start thinking about, you know, what you're going to do. And I guess that's going to bring us up to, you know.
End step.
our end step. So we're going to start getting ourselves out of here. We really appreciate you guys listening to us. We're enjoying doing the show. You can email us podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com and we will read them on the show. If you're listening to us, you know where to find us. But if, you know, somehow you fell across us, we are now on iTunes. We are now in the Google Store. We are now on Spotify. We are now on Stitcher. We are now on almost any way that you can get your podcast, you should be able to find us. So I actually looked on Google for Planestalkers and we came up. So I was like, woo!
Nice.
So, yeah. But with that, I mean, next week, I think we're talking, what are we talking next week? What's our?
Probably more standard.
Yeah, I think we're going to be doing, well, obviously more standard.
Well, probably maybe talk about
the draft.
Yeah, stories from the draft. Maybe talk about the first round of decks that have been popping up.
Yes.
After
is there an event next week?
That's a good question. Schedule. Let's see. What is this weekend? Yes, there is a Grand Prix this weekend, but it's limited.
Yeah.
The next big standard tournament actually isn't until February. But there'll be, you know, Magic Online is going to get Ravnica Allegiance, so the decks that are going 5-0 in the standard leagues are going to start getting posted on, like, on MTG Goldfish and places like that. So you're going to see the decks that are starting to emerge from the new set coming out.
And then the first Pro Tour, which they're now calling the Tabletop Mythic Championship, will be 22 to 24th of February.
Yeah.
That'll be ridiculous. But Magic Fest Memphis, that is such a stupid name.
Yeah, I really hope
GP Memphis.
That. GP Memphis.
Let's just call it GP Memphis.
I refuse to acknowledge the existence of Magic Fest. Call me old fashioned, but damn it, it's
not
going to
work. It's going to be, yeah. We were going to do Magic Fest Niagara Falls, but it's Legacy and we have no shot there.
Yep, because I don't have $20,000 decks.
No, nobody does except those people.
Yeah, we even had a backup. This is the sad thing. This is what made me upset. We had a backup tournament. We were going to go. I was going to at least try to go to Providence if we couldn't go to Niagara Falls.
And that's a limited.
As team limited.
Yeah, we're not a part of any team.
Nope.
But we'd love to be if you want us to be a part of your team.
Yeah. So I got to wait till next year, but that's okay.
Well, we could go to Memphis.
I was not walking to Memphis.
In the middle of, yeah. That's
I was not
drive.
Walking with my feet 3 feet off a beel.
Yeah, off a pier, but yeah, I'll let you have it.
I love that song. That's a great song.
Well,
anyway.
We could go to Magic Fest Taipei, and they're doing standard on June 7th. I mean, that's not too close to my wedding and all. Oh, July 20th, 19th or 22nd. We could just do Magic Fest Denver. I'll let Wendy know I can't be here for the wedding.
Yeah, that'll go over like a lid balloon right there.
Yeah, that'll be great. I'll be hitting my magic cards.
That'll go over almost as well as your track record on Combat Phase so far. Oh.
I think I won this one, my friend. Mm-mm. All right, let's put it this way. They're going to ban a card. If you know what? This is how we'll know who won this one. If they ban Nexus of Fate, you're going to know I was right. Because they may not ban anything else from Red Deck Wins. So bring it, Grease Monkey.
Ouch.
It's just what we used to say when I was back home. I had a buddy of mine, and that's what he used to say. And I was like, okay, I don't really work on cars. He's like, nah, but it just sounds good when you say bring it. I'm like, all right, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so. I don't see Nexus getting banned, but we shall see what happens in March.
We shall see what happens. So I guess that's going to be it. Again, you can reach us podcast@planeswalkerspodcast.com. Check us out on Twitch, man. We're having a good time there. It's a look up for Planestalkers Podcast. I'm sorry. Planestalkers Podcast is the name of our podcast. And you can email us at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. And we're actually going to go play right now. Not that you're going to hear this right now. So
send us your questions.
Send us questions. Send us comments. iTunes reviews would be great. Again, it kind of helps us become more noticed. So for Aramis Perez, I'm Will Benson. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.